owe a debt to my fellow man. There are moral issues that affect our relationship with God. There are moral issues that affect our relationship with our fellow man. I have a debt of respect and responsibility and love toward others. Paul wrote to the Romans in chapter 13 and verse 8, the scripture reading I gave to Stephen this morning. Let no debt remain outstanding except that of continuing love toward one another. The only debt we owe because of the blood of Jesus is to love others and to serve them appropriately. And a lot of people today in the world today say, that are not Christians, say, we just need to ignore guilt. You know, if you feel guilty, you just need to get over it. It's all inappropriate guilt. You're okay. I'm okay. The world is fine. But there's something inside our hearts that says the world is not fine, and I'm not fine either. We all recognize that degree of guilt in our lives that comes from sin. And sin is dealt with the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. It's not dealt with by my perfect moral performance. I've missed that one long ago. It's dealt with the blood of Jesus. So when you feel guilty, it reminds us it's not all about me. It's about God, and it's about other people. And we have the choice to deny our guilt or to confess our guilt to God. The second emotion that we deal with is anger. You like the picture up there? Ever felt that way? Probably so. Anger is an emotion that says, you owe me. Guilt, on the other hand, says, I owe you. Anger says, you owe me. Anger says, you have hurt me and you owe me. You've been disrespectful to me and you owe me. You have cheated me and you owe me. Anger says, you owe a debt to me. We need to make things right. But anger at its heart is another warning light emotion. And by the way, this Thursday night for our men's devotional, ladies, sorry you're not invited. But for our men's devotional, Tommy's going to be talking about anger management. Perfect topic to go with what we're going with this morning. So anger begins as an emotional response, but sometimes it becomes an attitudinal response. Given time and choice, emotional anger develops into attitudinal anger. And attitudinal anger is sinful. Emotional anger, sometimes we just get a little riled inside, but it's an emotion that's saying, check under the hood, seeing what's going on. My guess is you're thinking you got cheated and somebody owes you something. What's the difference between emotional anger and attitudinal anger? Emotional anger is a feeling. Attitudinal anger is a choice we make. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 26, Paul says, in your anger do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. In your anger, your emotion, don't sin. Someone has well said the word anger is one letter short of the word danger. Some of you remembered that one. Thank you. So what is attitudinal anger? Well, it's definitely sinful. Anger that is an attitude is a choice of revenge that I'm going to get back at this person and I'm going to use the tool of anger in order to do so. You owe me and I'm going to make you pay. That's attitudinal anger of sin. Someone came to our church door a few weeks ago with a particular request, a request that we are not able to grant, and I told the individual so. And they went away angry because we did not grant that request. That's emotional anger, trying to punish me because I said no. And when you feel anger, you need to check under the hood. Check to see what's going on inside. Something's out of kilter. Something's not right. Emotional anger or attitudinal anger. Decide what you're dealing with. Attitudinal anger is definitely sin. Emotional anger can put you right on the cusp of sin. It's only one letter short of danger. But anger is emotions that says, you owe me. The third emotion we deal with is greed. Greed says, I owe me. I deserve this. A Catholic priest was once asked, what sin has never been confessed to you? And he thought for a little while. And the questioner said, how about murder? You ever heard anybody confess murder? He says, well, believe it or not, I have. Well, how about adultery? Oh, lots of times, he said. Well, what sin has no one ever confessed to you? The Catholic priest paused for a moment and said, covetousness. Covetousness. It's one of the Ten Commandments in the Old Testament, isn't it? Deuteronomy 5:21, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife or house or land or manservant or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything else that belongs to your neighbor. It's on God's top 10 list in the law of Moses, but it doesn't make top 10, and the confessional is not even mentioned. Covetous and greed are cousins. They're not the same, but they go together like peanut butter and jelly. Greed is usually associated with money or things that I desire, that I overly value, that I think are worth more than they really are. Whereas I covet things that belong to other people that I wish were mine. I wish I had your car. I want your car. I wish I had your wife. I wish I had your house. I wish I had your money. I wish I had... You fill in the blank. That's covetousness. Covetousness never keeps up with the Joneses or the Smiths or the Johnsons or whatever name you want to put in there. Again, covetousness and greed are both self-indulgent attitudes the Bible labels as sin, as destruction. Greed and covetousness are attitudes that say, I owe me. I deserve this. This should be mine. In short, covetousness and greed overvalues things. Let's say you slip into Walmart one night and you switch the price tags. You go to the personal care aisle and there's Dove soap, 69 cents a bar. And you take the price tag and you put it on that large TV you've been wanting. This says $599. Now, they're going to catch it at the cash register, so don't try this at home, okay? But in your mind, have you ever wanted to go to Walmart and switch all the price tags around? Now, I'll tell you one thing. If you put $599 on a bar of soap, I need soap, but I don't need it that bad. What covetousness and greed do is cause us to twitch the price tags in life and say that things are that cost very little are really worth a whole lot. I really need what this person has. Or I'm greedy and say, I really want that, and it's really not that valuable to me. Covetousness and greed causes us to try to switch the price tags, to overvalue things. When I'm greedy in covetousness, I'm willing to pay too much because I value it too much. I'm not paying $5.99 for a bar of soap, let me assure you. Warning, when you like stuff more than you like people, there's a problem. You're greedy when the people close to you feel like your stuff is more important than they are. Remember Jesus' warning in the parable of the rich fool? He said, watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Do we need possessions? Yes. Do we need money? Yes. In our world, we need these things. God knows that. But God created things for us to use and people for us to enjoy. And sometimes we switch the price tags and we use people in order to try to enjoy things. And that, my brothers and sisters, gets life backwards. The fourth emotion we feel is jealousy. Jealousy says, life owes me. Life owes me. And you've been around people with an entitlement attitude. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? You know, I'm entitled to this. Life owes me. When we were living in Nebraska, the little town of York, a tornado came through the town of Brevier Crossing, 25 miles away, and our church partnered with Church of Christ Disaster Relief Organization, and they sent us a whole truckload of merchandise we could just give away to free for people that were hurting from the tornado. And there was food, and there were some basic supplies, and there were cleaning supplies, and so forth. And we also were able to take orders for free appliances. The organization would give a free appliance to those who had lost their appliances in the tornado. A great, great, great giving away. But we had to order those appliances, and when the truck came in, We had taken orders and, of course, screened the people as far as receiving them, make sure they lived in truly disaster areas and that their appliances truly had been destroyed. And when the appliances arrived, they found out that the refrigerator manufacturer had not been able to ship as many refrigerators as we had asked for and ordered. So we had washers, dryers, ranges, but not enough refrigerators. And I was the one in charge of dealing out the appliances and who gets what. And I figured out the fairest way to deal with this is to say those who were getting a washer, dryer, and range would also not get a refrigerator. Well, we went to one lady who had wanted all four appliances, and she had need for all four. I have no question with that, but we couldn't supply all four. And we delivered her washer and her dryer and her range, but there was no refrigerator. And she said, "Well, who stole my refrigerator?" "Ma'am, nobody stole your refrigerator. It wasn't yours. Nobody stole it. We just couldn't deliver. We didn't get enough refrigerators." And I explained to her the situation. "We're able to give you a washer and a dryer and a range. We have that in stock, but we're unable to fulfill your desire for a refrigerator." "Who stole my refrigerator?" Well, she had an entitlement attitude, a jealousy, that life owes me something. Jealousy is emotion that says, life owes me. I deserve it. Greed is the emotion that says, I deserve it. I owe me. Anger is the emotion that you owe me. And guilt is the emotion that I owe you. Remember, when you feel these emotions of guilt and anger and greed and jealousy, they're warning lights on the dashboard of life. It's time to stop the car of life, get under the hood, check the heart, say, what's going on here? What is it that's causing me to feel this way? Is this appropriate guilt or inappropriate guilt? It's a time to weigh it with truth. But when you feel these emotions, it's time to stop your life and get under the hood and ask, what's going on here? Ask yourself some tough questions. And when you feel guilt, and it's true guilt, confess it. To yourself and to God and to others. And when you feel anger, it's time to forgive and cancel the debt that someone else owes you. And when you feel greed, it's time to give. It's time to be in a giving mood instead of a taking mood. Giving breaks the control of greed in our hearts. And when you feel the emotion of jealousy, it's time to celebrate and give thanks for what God has given you. To look at your blessings and not just your problems. When you feel something, do something. Pay attention to life's warning light. Remember, the guardrails on the bridge are there to help you get across the bridge with security. And God has given you these guardrails, these warning lights, to help you cross the bridge of life with security and with safety. They're there for helping you. Aren't you glad God made your feet where you could feel the rock in it so you didn't get a hole in your foot and infected? One of the great dangers in medicine is when we lose the ability to feel pain. God's given us a gift of pain. Oh, sometime I'd like to give Him the gift back, believe me. But ultimately I know that gift of pain is for my benefit. So the emotions of guilt and anger and greed and jealousy should ding our conscience enough to go, hey, wait a minute here. My car has a little low fuel light that comes on when the gas tank gets too low. You know, when I've not paid attention to how much gas I've got in the tank. And after a while, that little sound will go, ding. That's what they're supposed to say. You idiot, wake up. Check the gas gauge. It's almost empty. You've only got a couple of gallons left. It's time to head to the gas station. Now, I can choose to ignore that ding and the light, and I can keep on driving, maybe even for 50 miles. But you know what? Eventually, I'm going to run out of gas. And that's what happens to us when we ignore the emotional warning lights that God gives us. Eventually, we're going to run out of gas. So when the lights go off, check under the hood. What's going on? What's causing this? What's the real problem? Is it appropriate or inappropriate guilt, for example? And then deal with reality. But God has given us the gift of emotions to help us make intelligent choices, healthy choices in our lives. Don't flirt with disaster. God's given you those emotions for a reason. We can't ignore our guilt before God forever either. We know there's an ultimate day of judgment. God tells us in His Word. I cannot stand before the God of heaven and say I've lived life perfectly. I need the blood of Jesus. I don't know about you, but I need it. And I think you need it. And if you've not yet responded to Him in faith, with repentance of heart, with baptism into Him for the forgiveness of your sins, we want you to do that this morning. We want you to put on Jesus Christ. We want you to begin living God's life for you. A life of submission to Him, a life of obedience, and a life of joy and peace. Doesn't mean your problems all vanish, but your perspective changes because you have given up the guilt that was on your back, and Jesus is carrying the bag for you. Let Jesus carry your bag this morning. Make your choice for Him. Confess your faith in Him, repent of your sins, be buried with Him in baptism. Begin the walk of the Christian, freed from the guilt of sin that is in your heart, and living for the glory of our God. If that's your desire, make it known. Come down to the front. Tell us you want to be baptized into Christ. If you need the prayers of this congregation, respond to the call of God. Respond because God has given you the opportunity to turn to Him. Let's stand together and let's sing.